Welcome to the Trim Radio Network and the show, My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever, with Stu Scheer, your host. I am Michael Bayas, his producer. Anyway, welcome to the Trim Radio Network. Come on over to us. You come visit us. So if you have any type of, well, any way to get online, you can find us. And we have great merchandise, too. And we have a wonderful, wonderful shows on here. Everyone from Red Pill Reality Show, Take Point 22, Brighter Life Show. I mean, we have Fishing in Florida, Money and Change, Bare Knuckles Radio Show, America's Funniest Online Dates, this show right here, My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever, Offside, Snobberknocker, we just have it all. Anyway, you find us, and you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, hey, just message us. We'll show you how easy it is to do. And we're always looking for new shows. So just make sure you drop us a line and we'd be delighted to take a look at it. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. At music right there, Leave It to Beaver, television's greatest show from way back when. Oh, I love that stuff. It's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658, 6105-1658. We also have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. You can call in, give us your opinion. Just no cussing, no swearing, or we have to block you. That's the end of that. Anyway, without further ado, here is Stu.
Hey, Michael. Well, it's been a crazy week so far. Welcome to my world. And probably your world, too. Everything's going on this week. This last weekend, I was down in Athens, Ohio. And it was homecoming. And you really have to go to Athens, Ohio and experience the homecoming for Ohio University. It's kind of one of a kind, but it's kind of neat. Well, you know, Michael always does his disclaimer. I like to do mine. Nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, or financial or investment advice. And we want you to take what we say with a grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. Fancy words. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. And any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. Sit back, relax, and chill out. And, oh, by the way, tell your friends to join us on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Wow. Last week was something else. I don't know how to put it. You know, you take a trip, and you're going to go to a college homecoming. And you go down every year and you expect to run into all kinds of things. I mean, all kinds of things. We had a very good trip down to Athens. It was beautiful weather, bright blue skies, colorful trees, The only bad thing was getting through Columbus, Ohio. I mean, oh boy, you get on 70 and then you have to get to 33. You want to get out of Columbus as quick as you can. The traffic is something else. And then we get on 33 and the traffic is still bad. And we get down to Logan, Ohio, which was our place of lodging. Now, Logan is about 45 minutes from Athens. That was as close as we could get. Everything was booked, and I mean booked solid. I was lucky to find one room at a Holiday Inn Express in Logan, Ohio. And I want to tell you something, really nice people. Everything was great except for the vending machines. You know, I go there and I want to put some money in the vending machine, and you follow what the rules are. You put your money in. The machine takes your money and then it doesn't dispense what you want. You press the button, it's the right button and everything, but you hear all this whir click, whir click, whir click, whir click, and then nothing. Make another choice. Okay, so pick something else. Press the button, same amount of money. Whir click, whir click, whir, whir. So I go to the front desk and I say, "Hey, we got a problem with the vending machine." And I said, "You know, they didn't load it right, and there's obviously motor problems and so forth." So she comes out, she says, "I'll fix it. I'll just use our company card." She's really nice about it. And she pounds the heck out of the vending machine. I mean, beats it to smithereens. This little gal, no taller than, oh, 4.5 feet, man, she was like a fullback on a football team. Man, she was hitting that thing and bam, 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 bam. Well, sure enough, we got two of the things that we ordered. They came down. I got something else and I said, "What do you do for water?" Because I'm afraid to. She says, "Oh, the water's on us." And she goes over and slides her card through the reader and next thing you know, we had some water. It was great. Well, I took all that back up to the room, got everything unloaded into the room, and it was time to head to Athens. Now, it was like 3 o'clock when we got to the hotel, and I was leaving at 4 to get to the university, and I'm driving along, no problem. I mean, everything was great. The GPS in the car was there and it showed the map right to where it was going, and something caught my attention. I glanced for a second. I missed the turn off onto Richland Avenue, which would have taken me right to the stadium and right to the student center, you know, a Baker Center, and no problems. But no, I missed it. So I had to go to the next exit. I'm totally lost. I went to school there. Heck, I ought to know where things are. And I'm looking over, and there's the hospital, and then there's the school for osteopaths is there. And so, but the next thing I know, I'm on, I believe, State Street or Route 50, and I'm coming into a different area that were there were parking lots last year. This year, it's a chiropractic school has been built, and another building for that chiropractic school is across the street. It's really starting to really expand down there. Well, I finally get wound around and get back to Baker Center, which is the student union. And I thought, well, I'm going to try it and see if I get my free parking spot. Son of a gun, I got into the parking garage and it's underneath this building, and I found my spot. And for years you had to pay. And you had to pay big bucks to park there for football games, whatever. It's been free the last 3 years. Absolutely free. So I took advantage. I pulled into my parking spot, usual spot. And then I went ahead and got dressed for the weather because it was cool, very cool. And I took the elevator up to the first floor, and I thought, okay, I better head over to the stadium because the band was going to practice. And I was in the marching band there back when they were getting ready to get rid of the marching band back in 1965. And I went to OU in 66, and it was kind of a trial run. And the band director there was new, and he was trying to change things. And then finally, for the next year, it totally changed. We went all male. Well, we caught some flack over that. But we traveled. We went to Penn State and other places. And he didn't want a bunch of gals riding along in the group. Housing was much simpler back then. And he told everybody, he said, look, this is a trial run, people. If we don't come off and do this thing correct or correctly, there's not going to be a band. There'll be a music program, but there won't be a marching band. So everything has to be perfect. And we remembered when he said, when you play out there, play it right, but play it loud enough that you're going to blow that press box off the top of the stadium. And when the band first went out, we got some boos. And then we started to play. And people started to applaud, and they went wild. And they've gone wild since. The students go to see the band. The football team, if they win, they win. If they don't, you saw the band, you leave at the end of the third quarter, and you either go uptown and visit the drinking establishments up there, and there are plenty, or you go back to the dorm and study, or you find another party someplace else. It was the number one party school, I think, when I went there. And that's the way it was. So I made my way to the stadium and found my good place to sit that I always like to sit. I always like to sit on the 50-yard line. That's always the best. And of course, there were maybe 200 people in the stadium to watch the band practice. That's a normal thing. And they went through the practice, and I thought, they're not playing the music. They're singing it. What's going on here? Well, that's how they practice, and then they play. And oh my God, the music that came out was out of sight. And if the hair doesn't stand up on the back of your neck, they're doing it wrong. Well, everything was standing up. I mean, wow, the sound. Here you've got almost 300 people in the band on the field, and they are playing music, and there were no mistakes, no nothing. It was beautiful. So I met some of the people that were in the band back when I was in the band, and we sat together, and then all these newbies, you know, people that have just graduated or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago, they're sitting behind us, and they are just going wild. Well, I walked back to Baker Center, and I thought, well, I've got a reunion to go to, and I found the place. I had to use GPS to do it because it was a new building, a beautiful activity center, but it wasn't anything to do with the university. It was totally something else. It was their local activity center. Big place. I think Athens only has about 25,000 people living there. And they normally work for the university or other businesses associated and so forth. And then you have the students on campus, about 30,000. So it can be a lively place. Well, anyhow, I found the place, and I was there part of the time, and I had to leave. Really upset me, but I had to leave. And the next day I came back for the homecoming parade. Have you ever been to a real homecoming parade? People were lining up an hour ahead to find a place that was good, and it was cold. But they were lining up, waiting for the parade to begin. And I mean, everything was going on. And people were coming back from partying, and they're waiting on the parade to start. And it's obvious that some of them had been up all night drinking, partying, whatever. But they were there. And of course, the parents were there. I don't know if they were partying the night before or not. I know I wasn't. I was boring. Anyhow, I stood on this corner on State and Court Street. I thought, boy, this is a perfect spot. Man, people packed in around. I mean, they were 10 people deep. And I was elevated enough so that my short body could look over and see the parade as it went by. And you saw all kinds of stuff. I mean, you saw some weird people. You saw some wired people. You saw some alcoholically happy people, no mean drunks or anything. And you saw the parents and grandparents standing there and they're waiting. And the parade was about an hour and a half long. That was homecoming. And of course, the Ohio University Marching 110, they don't have 110 in it. It's a lot larger than that, but it's 110%. That's what you give every practice, or you don't make the band. And it was that way when I was in. Only we only had 110. We had to give 110%. So was it 220? Well, anyhow. Here comes the band. And, oh, the crowd went wild. Then they left. And another float came in. Another float, another float, another float, another float. And some weird floats. I mean, I'm telling you, but they were flinging out the beads like it was Mardi Gras. But they only threw them back 10 rows. They never hit me at all. I felt kind of slighted. But the band goes on and on and on and playing and all these floats and everything going by on people, going nuts. Some girls, and it was cold, were running around in bikinis. No coats. Obviously, I think they had been partying the night before and they didn't feel any cold weather at all. And at the very tail end of the parade, here comes the alumni band for the university. They must have had 500 alumni in that. Could you imagine the revenue to that town with all those alumni coming back? I mean, all the bars would probably run out of beer. They would run out of food. I mean, you've got 500 hungry alumni. And the band was fantastic. It was just as good as the university band. And, oh, man, it was just fantastic. And they're dancing up the street. And the old people, man, you're looking at people that are 60 years old. And they're dancing along and playing and all this kind of stuff. Fantastic. You just have to go there to see it. And then afterwards, you know, you go to find some place to eat and they're all busy and you have to go to the student union to get something to eat. And the only thing I could find was Starbucks. That was the only thing that was open at that time. And I knew I had to get to the stadium, to my seat and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, you're charged, you know, like $20. Just for some California roll, which had no taste to it, a drink, and then some pumpkin bread. And that was it. And I figured, well, that'll do me and get me through everything. So anyhow, I did that, and I walked to the stadium. It's about 3 blocks away. And I passed this group. The whole band and alumni band were eating under tents. They were all getting fed. I should have joined him. I had my shirt on and everything, but I didn't. And I got to my seat and, you know, the game started and everything. Everything was worked really well. And the sun came out. It got warm. And here I am in a heavy Carhartt coat. You know how those canvas coats are. And I tried to stay cool. I unzipped the jacket and so forth. And the football game was good. OU finally won the game. I mean, they won it kind of like 56 to 39 or something like that. But the halftime show, you know, the band comes out and they do their thing. And they play to the parents' side, you know, the home side. And then they play to the students on the student side. And then they come back towards the parent side. And next thing you know, the alumni band comes out. You got a football field almost full of people, almost end to end, playing all kinds of stuff. And it's fantastic. And then after the game is over, they do an after show show. And they get on the field and they play all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's great. If you love music, if you love marching bands, it's fantastic. And then I had to go get to the car and finally go back to the hotel. I was not going to party in Athens. I know what Athens is for parties. I wanted to get home before anything got wild. And things can get wild in Athens, trust me. It's a fun place. Beautiful campus. Probably one of the most beautiful campuses in the United States, especially in the fall with the trees changing colors, and you're down in the hills, and it's just a beautiful campus. It really is. And the town of Athens is pretty nice too. But it was an interesting experience last weekend. And I finally got back Sunday around noon, and I thought, okay, I'd been around all these people. I mean, I don't know how many thousand. And I thought, okay, now you have to wash everything because of possible COVID problems, you know, and you, all that runs through your head. And so I'm doing all of that, trying to get things done. And I could not do a money and change show Sunday night. There was just no way. And then Monday started and playing catch up ball, trying to get some stuff done. And then Tuesday build up, and then Michael and I were talking before the show started tonight, because he had rain and possible lightning and some heavy storms coming in his way in South Carolina. And we thought, well, maybe we would have to postpone everything. Well, luckily we haven't. And he was getting what I got the morning before. So that's been about my world. It's been crazy. It's been hectic because I've had a lot of things going on, a lot of things to do. And if you went to my world, Life, Laugh, and Whatever page on Facebook, you noticed that somebody from Animal House was featured in the teaser for the show. And, you know, we had a college homecoming like no other. Boy, it was. Pet peeves. Oh, pet peeves. Ooh. People driving. My God. It wasn't bad in Athens. They were fairly well behaved. It wasn't bad in Columbus. But when I got to a place called Piqua, Ohio on I-75, my God, those people, they do a California stop. They run stop signs. They like to go through lights when they're not supposed to. They speed more than they should. It was a trip. That was a pet peeve. You know, if they got laws out there, obey them so you don't get a ticket. And I read something, I think it was Monday, that in Cincinnati, Ohio, and that I worked there for, oh God, 8 years. And if you ever remember the WKRP TV show, WKRP in Cincinnati, well, they were in the Flim building. And the picture that they showed was actually the Enquirer building, where my office was up on the 9th floor of the Enquirer building. And they said that WKRP was on the 9th floor of the Enquirer building. Well, we didn't have any radio station up there, but everything that was going on, it was so familiar. But anyhow, they had a thing came over, WLW radio. And I was listening, and they said, the mayor is sick and tired of people running stop signs and speeding and so forth. So there are going to be more cops on the road issuing speeding tickets. So if I were you, I would slow down. Could you imagine the income from 250,000 people getting speeding tickets in Cincinnati? Could you imagine all the court time if they contested it and the police officers were taken off the street and into court? That would tie things up quite a bit. But things were getting pretty bad down there. And in some cases, you don't even want to go out at night down there. People get, run over, shot at, whatever. It's not everywhere in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got nice people there. But sometimes it gets a little hectic, a little wild. But I lived there back in the WKRP days, and I loved that show. I wish they would bring it back. You can't bring all the actors back, because I think Gordon Jump is dead and Johnny Fever. I don't think Howard Hessman's living still, or maybe Lonnie Anderson. It was a great show. And it was about stupid stuff going on in Cincinnati, which a lot of stupid stuff goes on in Cincinnati, trust me. But they talked about the speeding and everything else down there. I thought, this town called Piqua, it looked like it was similar. Like maybe they took driver's ed in Cincinnati. I don't know. And that was a pet peeve, you know. It's like, what was it? There was a show that was where they said, rules? We ain't got no stinking rules. Oh, I'm thinking, okay, that's probably Cincinnati. And then you got stupid is what stupid does, and there's a lot of stupid people out there. Sometimes I do some stupid stuff too. I'll put something down and I'll forget about where I put it. And I'm going around the house going, where did I put this thing? Or, gee, I had my wallet in my pants and where did I put it? Where are the mailbox keys? Oh my God, I can't get my mail. I can't pay my bills and stuff. You have days like that. Well, I had a couple like that when I got back from Athens. I wasn't on anything. I didn't drink anything. It's just things play with your mind a little bit. And some people play with their mind a lot more than others. You know what I mean? Well, a lot of stuff is going on in my world, in your world. And I thought, I just want to see what silver was like. What they're charging for that. Somebody said, buy silver. I'm like, no. An ounce of silver, what's it going to cost me? And I was looking at different prices and so forth. And I thought, holy cow, I don't know about that. And I was looking at silver rounds and Canadian mint silver and so forth. And I like to look at that from time to time to see what it costs an ounce. And I was looking at American Silver Eagle coins. And I thought, wow, let's see how much those would cost. And I thought, we'll see what it is. Well, silver was $19.32 an ounce. But dig this. If you went to buy them at like APMEX or some of the others, they mark them as low as $36.31 an ounce. If you only buy one coin, it costs you $38. That's an $18 extra fee. And I thought, no way, I'm not going to do that. But buying precious metals is a good hedge on calamities. It really is, according to the experts. I'm no expert. You know, that's why I always say, do your due diligence. Just don't take what I say for granted. Well, except for the OU homecoming. If you really want to experience something, you have to go to Athens. You have to go to homecoming or parents' week. I mean, that's the only time that they jack the prices up sky high, because they're going to fleece you when you go there, and you know they're going to fleece you. My hotel room in Logan, 30 miles away, and it was like a 45-minute drive from the university. It was normally $128, and this was like, by the time I got done, it was $500, like $250 a night. Yeah, I got gouged, but I always go to homecoming, so I figured, well, that's just a vacation. Well, anyhow, you take a look at everything. Costs are escalating. I mean, lodging. Oh, man, I just about flipped on that. And you know, use a credit card because I don't carry bucks that big. And so I know I'm going to get stuck with that bill sometime this month. The lodging prices are up. Gasoline. How's gasoline where you guys are? You know, gasoline down there was $3.99 for regular. It was almost $5 for diesel. And I saw people with these big, big diesel motorhomes. They probably get about 6 miles to the gallon. They had to have money. They had to be, it's either that or they're going to be broke by the time they get home. And of course, they were going down to Athens too. The motorhomes are just on the road. They're going crazy down there. And the cost of food, I mean, what you'd normally pay maybe $10 for was like $15, $25, $30. They know how to gouge. That's a pet peeve of mine. It's probably a pet peeve of yours. Now, today I was looking in Zero Hedge. And they always have a ghostwriter by the name of Tyler Durden. And for a long time, I thought he was real wrong. But they had an article, PepsiCo's average product prices spike 17% year over year. And so while the Fed sits around and rearranges numbers and equations and definitions, which they normally do, liars figure and figures lie, whatever. That's an old saying from way back. The company reported earnings this morning, posting 9% rise in its third quarter sales and offering up increased guidance as it keeps raising prices on both snacks and its flagship beverages. The 12% increase it expects from full year organic revenue, noted by the Wall Street Journal this morning, comes at the hands of average prices rising an astonishing 17% from the year prior. The price hikes have been also helping the company raise its profit outlook, and now it expects per share earnings growth about 10%. What happens when people can't afford to buy things? That's what scares me. Oh, well, they like Pepsi. They like Mountain Dew. You know, students have to have their Mountain Dew. That's the only way they stay awake in class. I know. I interviewed some students at University of Cincinnati when it was one of my facilities. And I said, how come you guys go through? And this was just a branch campus. 14 cases of Mountain Dew a day. And the student told me, it's easy. We have to stay awake in class. That's the only way we can do it. I thought, boy, they had some boring professors. That was just one branch campus. I believe that was in Batavia. We used to nickname it Batville. It was out in the sticks. Nice people out there. Real nice people, though. And then you've got Doritos. Everybody loves Doritos. Everybody likes potato chips. And, you know, the price of that stuff is going to go up. And it's going to get to the point people aren't going to buy it. Or they're going to buy less of it. Is that going to be the same for Coke? Is that going to be the same for other products that are out there? That's what's scary. And what we're getting into, from what I can see, and maybe you can see it too, we've got inflation. Prices are going up and up and up and up. And so the money I spent this past weekend going to Athens, maybe normally I could have spent like $500 for the weekend. We'll double it. It was a K-note. It was 1,000. After lodging, gas, meals, pay for a reunion, all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, you know, you have to get the T-shirts and the coats and all the different doodads and so forth that has the OU Bobcat on there and so forth. I mean, there are things you have to do. And if you want to, go to YouTube and you can look up the Marching 110, and those videos are there. Fantastic music. I mean, really fantastic. And the homecoming was on YouTube. And then, of course, the band has a private site that only members can go to. And I'm privileged, I guess. I'm an old fart, so I get privileges, I guess. But, you know, prices are going up and up and up and up. And I'm reading along and trying to keep up with stuff for Money and Change, because it's constant research for that show. And I'm trying to get things ready for this weekend. And I'm looking at things, and I saw something. Who has the best postal system? And I looked at that, and I thought, okay, let's just see where the best postal system is. It ain't us. It ain't me, because I don't know where in the heck I put it. Oh, wait a minute. Two pages stuck together. Switzerland has the world's best post services. U.S. is 7th. And Switzerland's 1st. Germany 2nd. Austria is 3rd. Japan is 4th. France is 5th. Netherlands is 6th. U.S. is 7th, then Great Britain, Canada, and SG, which looks like Turkey. Why don't we have the best? Well, I know Switzerland's a small country. I mean, it's not that big. And then there's Germany. Well, it's not as big as the U.S. And Austria, it's not as big as Germany. Then you have France and Netherlands. You know, I mean, those are smaller countries. But why can't we move mail from one location to another? I mean, years ago, I could go to the post office and put a letter in, or go to the mailbox and put a letter in. 2 days later, it was where it's supposed to go. But now everything has to go from here on a truck to Columbus, Ohio, to be processed at the mail plant there. And then it's distributed back, and now it's 4 and 5 days total time in transit from the time you mail it to the time you get it back. And in the old days, it wasn't that way. I'm talking back in the probably 70s, 80s. Why don't we have the best? I mean, Lord knows we have decent postmen. I mean, the gal that I have that drives her little truck, you know, those crazy looking trucks, she pulls up and the mail is delivered to the mailbox. I have to walk down and get it, because it's a community mailbox. You've got like 12 boxes for each one. The delivery people are fantastic people. I mean, they are really great. If I get something in boxes, you know, I might get something mailed from Amazon and some other letters and so forth, the mail lady brings it up, knocks on my door, here you go, have a good one, because it didn't fit in the mailbox. But we're 7th and Switzerland's 1st. I just wonder how they achieve that. How about PCs? Computers, laptops, desktops. There was a report that came out Matter of fact, today it said PC shipments plunged 20%, steep drop in more than 20 years. This came out of the Wall Street Journal too. And it said in the recent quarter, PC manufacturers shipped 68 million computers, down from 84.5 million the same quarter in 2021. Have they ever figured out people ain't got no money? Oh, gee, did I say ain't? Oh, people in Athens, they say ain't. Once in a while, the townies. You know what townies are? You know, people live there. They're indigenous to the territory. They're great people down there. Don't get me wrong. Townies are great people. But can you imagine the computer prices the way that they are, and they're up there, and people go and they say, well, I'll just get a Chromebook. And Google Chrome will do everything that I need, almost. Not quite. They can't afford an Apple because the Apple computers are the MacBooks. You know, they're really expensive. And you know, when I was looking at computers way back when, I looked at a Mac. And I thought, oh, that's a good computer. A little expensive. And then I found a PC, a personal computer, and I thought, okay, it's got Office and Microsoft Office and all this stuff, which I had to buy to put into the computer, but I was using it for businesses or business purposes, and I was fine. No big deal. But the prices later dropped down, so I upgraded every 3 or 4 years with the laptop. Why? Because you just have to have the latest and the greatest. You have to be able to do more. You had to be able to talk online to somebody. You needed video. You need, you know, I mean, that's how they sell it. And you probably run into that too. Well, I change out my desktops just about every 4 years. And they always have a terabyte drive, and I always have a 7 terabyte backup Seagate that I use. And I have a laptop, and I have a smaller version of a laptop. And if I'm on the road, you know, I do that. I'm not on the road as much now. Matter of fact, I didn't even take a laptop with me for homecoming. I just had my cell phone. Well, it got me through, got me by. Hey, have you ever heard of guaranteed income? They've tried it in several countries before. And this is where the government says, okay, we'll guarantee everybody a base income of, and I'm going to throw out a hypothetical number, $2,000 a month. And that's your guaranteed income. Even if you're not working, you get $2,000 a month. Well, they tried that in Finland. And they said, even if you're not working, you get $2,000 a month. That's your base. And if you're in a high-tech job or something like that, of course, you're going to make a lot more money. But for those people that retirees, whatever, bums, ne'er-do-wells, whatever you want to call them, you end up with $2,000 a month, whether you like it or not. That's your base. They tried that, I think, for a couple of years, and they found out that the base income, that guaranteed income, people didn't want to work. They didn't want to be productive. So after 2 years, Finland dropped it. That's a socialist type of thing, you know? That's where you get paid for something and you don't have to do anything for it. Well, anyhow, Chicago, according to the paper that came out, and Fox News, Chicago's guaranteed income pilot program open to illegal immigrants. And this was in the Fox News, and it said, the only requirement for the program is that the applicants must be adults residents of Cook County and make less than 250% of the federal poverty level, or less than $69,375 for a house of four. $69,375. I wish in retirement that I made $69,375 a year. I wish. But now they're going to give illegal immigrants that type of money. Lori Lightfoot. Sometimes I think light brain. I have friends that live in Chicago. Matter of fact, one of them is a famous DJ up at WXRT, or at least she was, and now she's on the board of a college up there, and she teaches at Columbia's College of Broadcasting, whatever. And it's expensive to live in Chicago, but here Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, is coming out with the $69,375. Boy, I'd love to make that. But I'm legal. Which reminds me, hey, speaking of legal, you know, voting is starting to happen, you know, the mail-in ballots and all that kind of stuff. You want to make sure that you do vote. Don't do it like in Chicago, because in Chicago, it's called vote and vote often. Sometimes the alderman for your district will take you to the voting place, you know. There was a joke around, you know, my Uncle Louis used to be a Republican. He passed away. He was living in Chicago when he passed away, and now he's a Democrat. Well, anyhow, get out there and vote. I don't care what you vote for. It's up to you. But get out and vote. I mean, that's a privilege. One vote for one citizen. Okay? And that's the way it ought to be. And hopefully it is where you live. But there's so much stuff going on, and it's you have to watch your money. You have to watch where you travel, and you have to watch your car, because parts are not available all that much time. I'm reading along this afternoon, getting ready for the show, and I thought, oh, what's going on now? And there was a thing, Moderna COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness turns negative within months, according to a study. And I'm thinking, holy cow, and they're just coming out with this now? And then I was reading elsewhere. Let's see here. I'm looking at Zero Hedge as we speak, because they came out with a study, or somebody said under oath. I just want to get it right. I don't want to mess with it. And I can't find it. Holy cow. Well, they do take it down. My God, I think they did. It was there this afternoon when I found it. Well, anyhow, it could be back up. I don't know. I can't keep track of stuff with all this stuff going on. I'll refresh it here and see where it was at. But it was something. Oh, my God. The Fed is now paying $500 million to a handful of banks every day and suddenly has a very big problem. Ooh. Oh, here it is. Pfizer execs admits under oath, or exec admits under oath, we never tested COVID vaccine against transmission. Ooh, that's scary. A senior Pfizer executive has admitted under oath that the company never tested their COVID vaccine to see if it prevented transmission. As Jack Phillips reports via Epoch Times, members of the European Parliament, Rob Roos, R-O-O-S, I was going to add an extra O, added during a session, was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? Did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? Well, Pfizer's Jeanine Small, president of International Developed Markets, said in response, no, you know, we had to really move at the speed of science to know what is taking place in the market. Then later on, it said something, and Roos was from the Netherlands, and another statement was, millions of people worldwide felt forced to get the vaccinated because the myth that you do it for others, Roos said. Now this turned out to be a cheap lie and should be exposed, he said. Well, hey, it was just exposed on Zero Hedge. It's kind of scary what's out there. Before you do anything, always check. If a doctor says X, get a second opinion. If you don't like the second opinion, get a third opinion. Okay. That's just the way I do it. I mean, I check with a lot of doctors before I make any decision at all. I just don't take one's opinion, and I don't stick with the same medical group. So, for example, if I went to somebody that was associated with X hospitals, and they gave me one, and I didn't believe them, I would go to another medical hospital group, call it Group Y, and I would check with specialists there. Or I would just contact the Cleveland Clinic. They're fantastic people up there. I really think a lot of them. But anyhow, guys, that's some of the stuff that's going on in my world. And what's going on in your world? Some of the jokes that were out there are different things. I think the reason we are born with two hands is so we can pet two dogs at once. Have you ever done that? Pet two dogs at once? Or try to pet two cats at the same time? You ever try to herd cats? It's impossible. You know, think about this. Day 12 without chocolate. What would it be like? It's withdrawal is what it is. Chocolate is addictive. I love dark chocolate. The darker the chocolate, the better. It's good for your veins, so they say. Maybe that's why I eat a couple pounds of it. No, I don't. I just have 6 little cubes a day. Scientists say the universe is made up of protons, neutrons, electrons, but they forgot to mention morons. There are a lot of morons out there. You got to watch out for them because they attract other morons. Well, anyhow, the adult version of Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. Remember the game Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes? Is wallet, glasses, keys, and phone. That's the adult version. Always make sure you have your wallet, your glasses, your keys, and phone. And if you don't need glasses, hey, you're better off than most people. A dog accepts you as the boss. A cat wants to see your resume. Think about that. A dog will say, okay, you're my boss. You feed me. You can pet me and so forth. Cats, on the other hand, hey, if they don't trust you, they don't like you. You have to really make up to those things. And here's something to really, really consider. I mean, even Michael will even consider this. And it's about time for him to chime in. And I have this very important thing to tell people. And I don't know where Michael's hiding. Are you there, Michael? Are you there? Okay, he's going to miss it. That's the way it goes, guys. That's the way it is.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, you're here. You're here. You're here. Just remember this. Life is too short to waste time matching socks. Hey, guys, with that, that's my world. It's also your world. Let's make the best of the world that we can and treat each other properly, fairly, honestly, and have a good week, what's left of it. And we'll talk to you on Sunday with Money and Change. And we've got a lot more information to cover then about saving money and about just living in this crazy world. So, Michael, that's all I have. Everybody have a good week, what's left of it, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
All right, folks. Thank you for tuning into the Trim Radio Network and my world, a live, laugh, or whatever with Stu. And we will see you Sunday night again, and we will catch up with Money and Change and all the other wonderful shows that we have on the Trim Radio Network. Thank you for joining us, folks. Have a blessed, wonderful week. God bless you all. Be safe. Be kind to one another. The book,